Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have with me once again Michael Hudson. He's a director, he's a CEO, well, actually he's the chairman of Hannon Metals. He's a very experienced and very successful exploration geologist. He's pretty much been all around the world, if you look at his resume, and a very successful exploration geologist. And Hannon Metals trades in Toronto under the symbol HAN. You can buy it in the U.S., as I have, under the symbol HANNF. 91.2 million shares outstanding. I saw it trading recently at around 30 cents in Canadian money. That gives us a market cap of, I guess, around 27 million in Canadian dollars. I think most investors are unaware of Hannon's potential, you know, as it's exploring a gigantic sedimentary-hosted copper-silver project in Peru, known as the San Martin Project. The targets are absolutely huge, which is why Hannon did well, I think, to attract a world-class Japanese company as a joint venture partner on some of those projects that it's working on. JOGMEC, a feather in Hannon's cap to have a company like JOGMEC come along and endorse and work with them. I personally believe that Hannon can become one of the most successful junior exploration stories that I cover out of about 60 or 70 different names. And that's why I'm really pleased to welcome Michael to this show again. Thanks for joining me, Michael.
Jay, thank you for the very kind introduction.
It takes time, and Lord knows this pandemic has gotten in the way to a certain extent, but it looks now like you're coming through with some very nice numbers. You just recently, this past week, reported on some surface samples, very, very encouraging for sure. I think maybe we just start out, for the sake of listeners that might not know your story yet, just a real quick summary of the geology and the kind of a deposit that it is. It's sort of unique compared to the copper deposits that I've looked at in the past. Talk about that and maybe your joint venture with JOGMEC, and then we can go on to what you're doing now and some of your recent exploration successes there.
Very good, Jay. Well, I mean, just to take it back, I've been in Peru working since the mid-90s when really Peru started to open up again for commercial exploration. That's one of the world's most endowed places, the second most prolific copper producer on Earth. And, you know, I love Peru. I've seen the opportunities. And in about 2015, I sat down with a colleague and said, you know, let's really try and make a difference. And I suppose I was in my, you know, my mid to late 40s then. And it really is in exploration hard to make a discovery. So why not try and make something as big as possible rather than dealing with something small? So we thought about it, and of course we went back to a place we knew well in Peru, and what we're looking for is a sedimentary hosted copper style, and these are the second most prolific forms of copper on Earth, and the best examples are the Kupferschiefer are in Europe and the Central African Copper Belt, which are huge world-class systems. And we had some indications from data and information that these systems certainly existed in the back arc, so over the other side of the Andes, if you like, from the Pacific side. So and that idea was sort of ruminated and thought on, and ground became free in 2019-2020. So it took a while to be patient, to wait for that ground to come free. And then we went in boots and all and staked huge areas. And then COVID came along and really slowed us down for a year. But the initial indications we had from 2019-20 indicated that we were dealing with a system that was very large, that certainly hadn't been looked at in detail. And when I say very large, I'll talk in metrics, so I apologize, but 100 to 120 kilometers long of exploration permits we've staked, and we found copper in context with the same geological horizon. So these deposits form like pancakes, and these pancakes are very large. And so that was where we got to sort of when COVID hit, and there was a lot of excitement. And at that stage, actually, just before COVID hit, you mentioned JOGMEC. JOGMEC is actually the Japanese government, and it's the arm of the Japanese government that looks for future supply of metal for Japan and Japan industry. So they were able to fit in a visit just before COVID hit, and they saw the opportunity. And so last year we negotiated a deal with them where they – can spend up to $35 million to earn 75% in the project. And the key points are the highest risk at time is, of course, now while we're going through this earlier stage exploration. Mm-hmm. They've got to spend $8 million over a 4-year period. We're 1.5 years into that now, basically. And we've got, you know, a team of 10 to 20 people at site at any one point, geologists, people permitting, looking for this copper over such a large area. And we've narrowed down our search. And I think I've said to you before that our challenge is now to find the continuity. We've demonstrated copper can exist over very large areas. We need to find the continuity that ultimately will be the drill scale continuity. Now we're going through all that permitting for drilling now and literally just about to put our environmental impact assessment, or the DIA, mm-hmm. Which it's called in Peru, to the authorities over the next 3 to 4 weeks. And that really is the step that allows us to drill. But I still think that will take a little bit of time. You know, Peru's not the fastest jurisdiction, so we're talking probably Q1, Q2 next year mm-hmm. to drill. But the work that we've done over the most recent past has really demonstrated the geological opportunity and validated the thesis that we went in there for originally. So geologically, we've demonstrated that it is, the model stacks up to look very much like the Kufa Schiefer. So we found a shale-bearing horizon that we've been able to map over, you know, kilometres now in trenches that, you know, we've dug through the forest floor and uh-huh. we found this same level. So we can join, you know, we know we're dealing with one pancake mm-hmm. that extends over much larger distances. Above that, we've done run soils in the jungle and really run some very modern and high-tech portable XRFs in the field that make it very rapid, cheap, and very fit for purpose for exploring in these challenging environments. And then we're just finishing up flying a $500,000 Canadian LIDAR survey, which is mm-hmm. you know, which is again high tech. Everyone's got one of these on their iPhone 12s or 13s now, a LIDAR camera. But we fly these things from the air about 600 or 700 meters up, and it just bombards the land with laser beams, basically, that are just basically light. But there's so many beams it can see through to the jungle floor and help us map the geology. In an area that has very, very little outcrop, you know, we're dealing with mm-hmm. when the rock coming to surface is, you know, way less than 1%. So we've got to use all these techniques to demonstrate that continuity in the soils, the LIDAR, the geological mapping and the trenching mm-hmm. will all lead to, well, have all led to de-risking of the project and ultimately where we need to drill and you know, in a minute we can touch on the social aspects, which are just as exciting, I think, mm-hmm. in terms of how we've been able to work with the locals. But that's sort of the background and mm-hmm. where we've got to. This is not just a prospect that we're excited about. We've got a whole basin that we've tied up. We're one of the top 10 landholders in Peru, and then importantly, the JOGMEC deal only covers 1/3 of that landholding.
You came out with some news just, I think, September 20th, perhaps, just recently anyway, and some very nice surface samples that you talked about. I think it was on a section of the Tabaluso East section, I believe, that is a joint venture part of your project with JOGMEC. Can you talk to us a little bit about those results? I'm looking at something like 5.3% copper and 83 grams of silver over 1.6 meters, you know, channel sample, I guess it was. Is this the kind of grades that you might anticipate being fairly common?
Yeah, I mean, obviously this is early stage exploration and we haven't put a drill hole into the property yet. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is all very forward looking, but those grades and thicknesses absolutely work very well, Jay. They're very compelling in a technical sense. And I suppose the easy way to think about it is that KGHM that runs the Kufa Schiefer deposits in Europe uh-huh. Mines at an average thickness of 1.5 meters to 5.5 meters thickness. So That thickness range works, and then their average copper grade is 1.5% copper and 48 or 9 grams per ton silver. So so we're certainly exceeding what they're mining in Poland.
Well, we'll know, I guess, the thickness once you start drilling, and you think that might happen about first quarter of next year, I guess.
Yes, first quarter, moving into the second quarter, just around that transition. It's a fairly set timetable we're on now. We've got to go through a public participation with the local people over the coming weeks, and I'd just like to touch briefly on that these areas, how can I talk about an area with my colleague in 2015 and why hadn't it been found before? Well, these areas are harder exploration, so we're moving into the high jungle, so it's obviously blindfolded to geologists before. There was some indications out there, but not many people had done work because it was really quite a dangerous area back in the 90s to go when I first went to Peru. You know, I had full-on protection to go into those areas when I started looking for different styles of deposits there. So it's really opened up. The populations have moved in relatively, but they don't know what exploration and mining is really. The oil and gas industry have been working out there for some time. So we've worked very, very hard. We've got dedicated full-time social team who goes in before any geologists and talks to the locals. And basically, if they want us there, we'll work with them. If they don't, we won't go into these areas. And we've been emphatically welcomed in these areas in which we're working, especially in Tabalosos and where we're looking to drill. So it's a very modern approach of involving stakeholders from the first instance that we've undertaken. And we know and understand the country well, and we've got a full Peruvian team apart from one person who's my partner in this business, Lars Dalenborg, who comes in and out of Sweden, and he's just returned from Peru over the last few days actually. So it's being run by Peruvians and they understand their culture and we're doing things better as an industry, and I can say proudly that that's one of the big ways we've opened up this project as well by working closely with the local people.
Yeah, I think if people should go to your website and get a sort of a sense of what you're doing in that regard, because on the homepage there's a picture of the people that are actually working on the ground there, and all the people that have some interest in this should benefit and profit from it. Knowing you as I do and your team, that you will really want to try to help those people as much as anything, and the spirit with which you approach your projects, I think, is commendable. That's the way it should be and needs to be, I think. How well funded are you?
We're pretty well funded, Jay. The case, I can't always say that in the junior exploration business, but we've got JOGMEC fully funding the San Martin project, which is where we've just talked about today. We have two-thirds of our ground outside the JOGMEC joint venture, and we're doing earlier stage work there. You'll start to see more data come from those areas as ground is granted, and in fact we've got copper gold porphyry potential a few hundred kilometres south, where we've got 1,000 square kilometres that perhaps we can talk about next time in more detail, and we'll have more information into the market. But those exploration projects in our own right are relatively low cost, and we've got something like 2.7 or 8 million Canadian dollars in the bank today, which will well and truly see the $700,000 program that we'll spend on our own projects over the next year. And remembering, we're spending $2 million this year on the JOGMEC JV. So so a lot of data, a lot of people, a lot of de-risking of the projects, and a healthy treasury as a consequence of the way it's all been structured.
Very good. And so I guess just keep our eyes open for, well, when the drilling starts, Q1, Q2 of next year. There may be some more news, I suppose, from time to time. Any surface samples, perhaps, or what might we be looking for in the near term?
Yeah, everyone wants to see drilling, and that will obviously be be the big move forward. But that last release you talked about on the 20th of September was really geologically very fundamental to confirming the model and the continuity, and those people who really understand these systems were very excited around that news. So I can say that they're incremental, maybe in the eyes of most people, but we're working to de-risk this and demonstrate the scale at all levels. Still, it's it's one of those rare opportunities in the space in my career where you can find a new copper district.
Oh, it certainly would be. It's huge. It's absolutely enormous. Well, I wish you all the best. And I mean, it's a 30-cent stock, for goodness sakes, in Canadian money. So it's less than that in U.S. money. Minuscule market cap. And obviously, if you're onto something big, well, people that follow this industry know that, that people like you who make gigantic discoveries can make a lot of money for investors. So I think you have a shot, Michael, and I'm really glad that you could share this with us once again. We'll look to keep up with this story as it continues to progress. Thank you so much for being with us again.
Thanks, Jay.